Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 491, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Which has nothing to do, like, when they announced that title, they're like, oh, he's going to space.
Nope. Well, just, they did that last time, right?
With Homecoming. Yeah.
And then they, like, and was it Civil War? Was it that long ago?
It was Civil War that they introduced the Homecoming protocol.
Right. And yeah. We were just like, oh, that must be what Spider-Man's going to be about.
Nope. Yeah. He literally just wanted to go to Homecoming.
They're really going to mess with it. The next one is going to be Spider-Man 3, Iron Man is Alive.
It's just the VR.
Right.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Oh, spoilers if you haven't seen Endgame. I can't imagine.
I'm sorry.
That there's anyone who listens to this podcast who has not seen Endgame.
No.
Yet.
Or listen to your episode on Endgame.
Right.
Or are just jumping into this show right now.
Right. Like, why? Yeah. Like, you would, if you've seen Spider-Man, then you know, even if you haven't seen Endgame. I don't
That'd
know who
be a
that
bad move. Yeah.
Who that person would be.
I don't know why you would do
it's
that.
It's all laid out for you.
Yeah. It's.
Oh, Tony Stark died?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
When?
Yeah.
Oh, there, oh, man, was, a, there just, was a previous movie?
I just watched that first one. The one that came out in 2007?
Yeah.
All right.
The whole time, like, where's Andrew Garfield? Yeah. What's going on?
I thought they said there was three Spider-Men in this movie.
I thought there'd be more Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Ooh. That's not, the less we talk about that, the better.
So I guess let's go around the table and we can introduce ourselves.
My name is Brian Spath, and I am returning for the fill-in-the-blank time.
No, I was like, holy cow, do you actually remember?
No, I think Joe and I were trying to figure it out on the way out here, but... I've done Guardians of the Galaxy, Tomorrowland, and one or two other films,
yeah, you've been
but I cannot
times.
Remember yeah. what the other films are. So
bodes well. Oh, I feel the same.
Hell or High Water.
Did I do Hell or High Water?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good one.
And that was in this studio.
High Water Mark.
How about that? Yeah, it was a good one.
It was in the studio, yes. I think I accidentally exposed the location of, of recording at the time. And you had...
Oh, that's right, because we hadn't built this room yet. Yeah. We were, like, tucked back in the corner in a... In the framework of a closet.
Right.
Yeah. Forgot about that. It was still an undisclosed
undisclosed,
location,
yeah. So. Still is, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to introduce yourself.
Oh, this is Joe.
And this is Tom. There we go. Before we get into Spider-Man, quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Chris Sanders, Librarian Cynthia, Susan Carlson, Timmy Tuzoons, Brent Smith, Julian Jordan, Travis Tewitt, Griffin Fox Smith, Dylan A. Lang, Tom Comiskey, Ron Johnson, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Sherman Powers, Lane Levanway, and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. So thank you very much.
Much appreciated.
And if you'd also like another way to support the show, you can check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month. You get bonus content. And occasionally, when the Skype phone is up and running, we might tap you to be a guest.
That's right.
You never know.
You never know.
We will not cover the cost of your movie ticket, though.
No. No.
Just to be clear.
Or the flight.
Well, it's on Skype.
No, I know.
To the movie theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, if you get an Uber, you got to pay for it yourself.
Like,
it's not
your
on
fans
us.
All live in remote, desolate areas.
Yeah.
And they travel days to go see a movie.
Just got to get to that theater. Yes.
That's why they listen to these. It's that way They don't have to go see the movie. They can just listen to our recap.
That sounds like it's worth going, spending $1,500 to travel to the movie theater.
I'll give it a shot.
And that's just concessions.
Hey, dad jokes are my job. So there, I guess we got all that out of the way. Let's jump into Spider-Man Far From Home.
What?
Whenever anybody abbreviates this, just real quick, it's FFH.
That's annoying.
And I try to make it like, you know, like when people are like FFS, like, I want to make Kevin edit. But for blank's sake.
Yes.
And so I'm always like, FFH.
What does that mean?
Why are you mad at Spider-Man? What happened? Oh, Far From Home.
Far From Home.
Got it. Got
it. Like, I do appreciate that they're just giving them random titles.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's still, you know, obviously the Avengers stuff has a theme going on. But like we said, like the Homecoming one, it's a double meaning considering that was announced right after Civil War. And then this one is right, like they were in space in the last Avengers movie. So it's just like, okay, they're hitting you with the double entendres with these titles. I have no idea what the next one's
double entendre is. Dirty.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
It's not dirty.
Right. It's not dirty.
No, not dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the end of Phase 3, which I like. I'm sure that Marvel wanted Avengers to be the end of Phase 3, and then Sony was like, I'd rather our movie be the end of it.
I don't think so.
No,
I think Marvel gets exactly what Marvel wants,
is a nice little button ending.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Marvel wanted Avengers to be the end of Phase 3, then Marvel would say, It's the end of phase three.
Right. True.
And you can be the beginning of phase four.
And you can suck it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think that, I don't think Sony's got any muscle here to be like, no. Well, you know,
we're going to use Venom. How about that?
Right. Nah. Like, I don't see it. So I think this is precisely what Marvel, or more specifically, Kevin Feige, how he wanted to round out. And I think it's a nice denouement.
Oh, no, I agree. This is a very good epilogue.
Yeah. Yeah,
very strong epilogue.
And I liked, just right at the beginning, I like how, because that was my first question at the end of Endgame.
What are they going to answer?
Yeah. Well, it's like, but what about all these people that came back? How's the age thing work? I mean, I think we even talked about it on the show.
We did, yeah.
I was just like, but the age.
Yeah, because at the end of Endgame, you see Peter and Ned, like, back in high school, and they're just like, we're 5 years past. Like, how are we back in school?
So now what?
Right.
And so, very convenient, too. Like, the characters who blipped.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Like, oh, how that's nice.
What are the odds that every major character, every speaking role from the last film, blipped, as we know they now call it.
Which I like.
We didn't know that it was called the blip until this movie, right?
Correct. They called it the snap. Like, well, there was
the snap when they went away.
Yeah.
The blip is
when they come back.
I took it the blip is them coming back.
That makes sense.
And so, but we hadn't heard that until this, right?
No.
That wasn't something that kind of took on a life of its own on the internet and they pulled in.
I don't believe so.
I don't have the internet, so I don't know.
You cut off from it completely?
Yeah, I got grounded.
your search history was too out there.
I want to know what was in my browser history. It was bad.
But no, yeah, so that's the basis of this one is everybody's back, but people have aged, and our characters, like Brian said.
Or not.
Or what do you mean?
Or not aged.
Or not aged.
The people
who aged or have not
blipped
are the same age when they left.
Are the same age physically, but obviously time has still gone by.
Correct.
So we
find that May has everybody the which I like May in the comics, May has always kind of been on the side of social justice, where was in charge of Feast, which was like a hunger program. So like, I like that they have given her that role again here, but just fit it into the MCU,
right,
where she is helping people who were displaced, which is a good, like, it's a good point where it's just like, yeah, they've been gone for 5 years, somebody would be living in their house.
Yeah, she said, I blipped back to my apartment and there's people living there.
Thought I was a ghost.
Yeah.
or a mistress,
which I also really enjoyed because it's Marissa Tomei.
Like, so he enjoyed that so much.
So much. And
more like Aunt Yes You May.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. It's just a weird time when Ma Kent and Aunt May are attractive people, you know.
Maybe if you were this age when the comics first started,
I would have found Aunt May.
You would have found Aunt May attractive.
Maybe
is May short for Martha?
Oh God, One can only hope not.
Yeah. I'm rooting against that.
I think Kevin Feige's like, don't even put them in the.
Yeah. He's like don't sully us with.
Or don't give them any ideas. So she's in charge of this foundation, and she has Spider-Man show up in the Iron Spider suit. And he's super awkward. And this movie deals with like the grief that Peter is dealing with very well. One of the things in the comics that Spider-Man never wanted to be part of the Avengers. Like, he's like, I'm small time. Like, I work in Queens. Like, this is my home.
Right.
When I go big, like, I don't know what to do. And so they definitely touch on that in this, where Happy is there. And I love the interactions between the awkwardness between Happy and May, where they're trying to keep this thing a secret. But Peter, like, the entire time is like, what?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
I think it's fascinating that, like, that Jon Favreau, like, so he directs the first two Iron Man movies, and he didn't really want to do that second. He wanted more time.
Sure.
If memory serves.
Oh, is that right?
He wasn't super happy, with no pun intended, with how that went down. Okay. And, like, I kind of got the feeling at the time, like, there was a little bit of bad blood, but obviously he retains that producer's credit. He makes a ton of money, and he still shows up in this role.
As Happy.
But, like, for the most part, has been pretty thankless. He shows up for two or three lines.
Get some laughs.
And then he moves on, where he's got a pretty sizable role in this film.
He is... So, basically, they're saying that Peter Parker is... Tony wants him to be the next Tony Stark.
Right.
And Peter is struggling with it. So the fact that they integrate Happy into this story, like, just lends credence to that Tony Stark vibe.
Right, because Happy is... I took it as Happy's the one who kind of gets to pass on the mantle and decide if you're doing something Tony would have approved of.
Right.
Or, more importantly, doing something he wouldn't have approved of.
Which he does a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
And so it also, like, I can't help but feel like, do we know how many pictures Tom Holland has signed on for?
As many as, I don't know, because he has made me, like, this version of Peter Parker, because of this movie, is the best.
Absolutely. And I feel like they're setting him up to be their Tony Stark.
I find it hard to disagree with that.
Wasn't that, I felt like that was mentioned somewhere, maybe, that Spider-Man is the focus of the MCU going forward. Yeah.
Which would make sense why they made that deal to get him back.
Sure.
You know, to get the rights to the character back within the MCU so they could continue.
Yeah, is there definition on how many films that includes at this point?
I don't know.
Or how much usage that includes?
There used to be a number. I mean, I think the number for Sam Jackson was like 10 or 12 films, but that included cameos.
Right.
I mean, like, specifically from Sony. Like, how many films can Marvel Studios do?
That's a good question.
Using Spider-Man.
Because is it Amy Pascal? Is she still in charge over there?
I have no idea.
It's Sony?
She doesn't call. She doesn't write.
What a lame-o.
I can't imagine Sony being so short-sighted at this point that they would walk away from this deal.
Sure, right.
Where, they're knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, and every time.
And they're only elevating the importance of this character every time he appears in one of those other movies.
Yeah.
I feel like now that Marvel is like, he's going to be our guy that it all centers around, and... You know, it's going to be the next phase.
I was going to say, we lost all of our, for the most part, with the exception of Thor.
Yeah.
We don't have that core crew anymore.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a new Avengers team.
Yeah, and that the next phase will be basically watching his story arc as he grows into his role of he's a leader.
Right. Which is, like, that's something that I don't think they've ever really touched on with in the comics, is that he never really was a leader. He was always like... He was never the solution to a plan.
Right.
You know, like, he was the guy working in the background, working with Tony or working with Reed Richards on, like, the science part.
Right.
And he'd come in, make some jokes, and then he'd go away, and then the two big guys would be your main focus. He's never really been front and center as a leader in these. So it's interesting to see that character develop in the MCU as a possible front man.
And I think it's just because, I mean, Spider-Man has always been Marvel Superman.
Sure.
And not in terms of power.
That's Captain America.
Right, but in terms...
Or is it Sentry?
Ooh. Yeah. Man, if they do a Sentry movie,
but
well played.
In terms of importance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to their... He, like, it all kind of goes back to Spider-Man in the same way that DC all goes back to Superman.
Sure.
And so I think that's, and it's still the most recognizable character that Marvel Comics has.
Yeah. Like we've talked about that is when they started on this journey in 2007, they didn't have anything, you know, like all of their big guns were at other studios and they couldn't touch them. So they had to, I don't want to say scrape the bottom of the barrel,
but they had to bring in the sides of the barrel. They had to bring in the second string and elevate them.
Which is weird to think at this point in 2019
that Iron Man,
Thor, Captain America, the Hulk were your second string characters behind, we won't really talk about the Fantastic Four movies, all of them. But yeah, behind Spider-Man and
X-Men
were all somewhere else. So they had to do what they had to do. And now, they've got enough clout where they're just like, you know, all of those characters that we sold off, we're just going to take them all back.
Yeah.
With the exception of Spider-Man, which I guess Sony still retains some of the rights because they put that Venom movie out.
Yeah. I think they still own like his kind of gallery of characters, you know? Yeah. So I think that, you know, they still have Venom and Black Cat and Kraven and, you know.
Yeah, there was a whole slew of films that they were hoping to put into production.
Yeah, they were going to try to do Sinister Six,
Silver Sable, and Black Cat.
Yeah, right.
That would have been a mistake. But yeah, so like, and it's interesting that if they're positioning Peter Parker as their top guy, that the rumor that Norman Osborn would be the top bad guy in Phase 4 is very interesting.
Yeah,
because that's his Lex Luthor. That's his Joker. The Green Goblin is like the biggest bad that Spider-Man has, with the exception of Venom, I guess. So that would be very interesting to see. I don't even like, to me, the Green Goblin, because of the history between Norman and Peter.
The storyline is a lot more.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think Doc Ock is like the Riddler.
Yeah,
you know. So they come back and Peter is having, he's not having panic attacks, but he's definitely like he doesn't want to be Spider-Man right now. Like, he's still dealing with the loss of Tony, coming back, and his world is kind of topsy-turvy. We're told that the 16-year-olds have to repeat their school year,
right?
By Betty Brant and the kid on the news, which I thought that was a nice little exposition dump without being an exposition dump.
Like, I kind of forgive this exposition dump because there's a lot they need to explain to us. Like, they have to convey a lot of information to get us up to speed on what's going on in this world since Endgame. And so normally I cringe at stuff like this, but this time I was like, no, that's fair. You have a lot to tell me.
There's a lot of information that we don't have yet.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of information that, you know, previous films kind of forgot to include.
Yeah. And you'd think that with a re-release, they would fix that.
Yeah, right.
No. One of the things I didn't like about the exposition dump, though, is because I had just rewatched Homecoming.
Oh, okay.
Before, like 3 days before I went to see it. And I really liked these kids. It's the same kids.
It is.
Doing video piece for the school.
Betty Brant, who is a character in the Spider-Man universe.
Right.
Yeah.
And I really liked how bad they were at it
in the first one.
Like, it was kind of a running gag about just how stiff and awkward they were at it. And they weren't that way this time at all. And I missed that. I really thought that was funny, the way they were like trying to imitate newscasters, but they were just really, really bad.
And now in this one, the kid's like got his feet up on the desk.
Yeah.
And
he's real
like
smooth and cash. And I'm just like, oh, but that's kind of not what they were doing.
Right.
Isn't that your life though? 5 years after not existing.
But do they know they didn't exist? You know what I mean? Like, would they be the same?
They blip back and like the whole world's gone
by. But your personality wouldn't change from the blip to the return, right?
I feel it could. I feel like it could.
Okay.
Well, they could affect you in a way.
I feel like they've been vague about whether or not anything happened to them while they were there.
Right.
Or if it was instantaneous for them.
So they wouldn't even know that they were gone.
I don't know.
I mean, because everybody does kind of say, like, I was because Peter says that
in Endgame, when he comes back, I was
dusted, and then I came back, and now we're here. So, like, they have obviously, at least Peter has an idea that something happened, but in that 5 years, nobody knows.
Where was Peter when he dusted? They were in outer space, right?
Yeah, it was Peter,
Star-Lord.
Isn't
that where he would come back?
Yeah, but
because, like, when
Strange was there.
Oh, okay.
And then brought them back.
Come on.
Mail it in.
There's a lot of storyline to keep up with.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, when somebody's like, but wait, how did that happen? It's like, In another movie, I'd be like, come on. But at this, like, there's a lot. You need a float chart.
Sure. Totally. Yeah. Totally. With, like, the time, because we're 5 years in the future now.
Right.
So it's 2023 in this world, in this MCU world. So, yeah, Peter's struggling. And then they're going to go on this vacation, this European vacation, which, by the way, I don't know how a Queens public school was able to fund a multi-country.
Wasn't it SHIELD?
It became SHIELD.
It becomes SHIELD.
Was it? Because I kind of felt like it was just SHIELD all along.
That they wanted to get Peter where they wanted to go?
I don't think so, because they would have had him going where they would. They wouldn't have had to talk, try and talk him into going where Prague or whatever.
Yeah.
So all the changes, I guess we should say there is a cold open where we're introduced to where the returning Maria Hill and Nick Fury and Quentin Beck, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who is Mysterio, who takes down, I believe it was, the fire one? No, it was the water one.
The elementals?
The elementals.
Was it, weren't they like, wasn't it sand?
It could have been. Yeah, it was sand. So, like, initially when they show this in the trailer, you're like, okay, we've got Hydro Man, we've got Sandman, and we've got Molten Man. Like, which are all Spider-Man villains, but they kind of change it where they say that they're elementals and they're from a different multiverse. And then it sucks that they gave all of this away in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, like the multiverse thing, or that MJ finds out who Spider-Man, or figured out who Spider-Man is. All of that stuff they kind of give away in the trailer, and it, I don't know. Like, at this point, like,
I feel like it's just, not to jump too far ahead, i.e. the end. I feel like it, you're like, oh yeah, they kind of ruined, you know, MJ finding out who he is. But then it's also like, that's completely overshadowed by the fact that Spider-Man's identity is revealed.
Right.
Entirely,
yes.
You
yes.
know?
Right.
So it's like, oh yeah, one person finds out. Oh no, now everybody knows.
Or his identity is revealed, but what do they do with that?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So they go on this vacation, and Peter has this grand plan to finally talk to MJ and lay it all out. He's going to buy her a Black Dahlia necklace because of the murders, which I enjoy. Like, yeah. I like that running gag.
And I felt like this was a bit of, like, time wise, it feels like a bit of a stretch, because they go from snap, blip, and then
right.
like, all these feelings for MJ. Like, where did that really develop? Because that coming out of Homecoming, we get pretty close into the timeline of Infinity War, right?
I think so. Yeah, because, I mean, at the end of in Infinity War, he's on the bus with all of those people.
Right.
And he jumps off the bus.
I guess maybe it's just, like, adolescent feelings or whatever. Which
we
like,
get
it feels, like accelerated and in of the most importance, when really it's just, like, it's been 2 weeks.
But I also kind of feel like that's Peter and MJ.
Sure. Does Homecoming butt up right against Infinity War? Because the opening part of Homecoming is him doing the home video at Civil War.
True.
So
Homecoming is really leading out of Civil War,
right?
Whereas this is almost basically coming out of Endgame.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, literally is coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going. He has these. I do like that they don't call it the spider sense.
Yeah,
like the Peter Tingle. It's just like one of those things where, and like, he is so disgusted with it.
Yeah,
he's just like, oh,
rightfully so.
Yes,
any sane human would be disgusted with that.
Yeah. Where he just, you know, he doesn't want to be Spider-Man while he's there. So he leaves the suit behind. He has this grand plan to, like, switch seats with MJ. The exciting part that they're bringing back all of the original cast is that Martin Starr gets to come back. And god dang it, if I don't love that guy. He's so great as, like, the hapless teacher.
Yeah.
That just wants to do good. The whole story he gives on the plane about how his wife pretended to blip.
Yeah.
Just so she could run.
That's great. I love that. There's a lot of little moments like that in this movie that I really enjoyed, because like, that is the kind of thing that, like, I mean, you heard stories like that after 9/11 about people that
just disappear.
Just kind of like, oh, that's a good opportunity to be like, bloop. And so I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
He does this whole story about how his wife pretended to blip, and, then, like, they had a funeral, and then she shows back up, and he's just like, I didn't know. It is what it is. And,
yeah.
You know, so, but they get to Europe, and Nick Fury is trying to call Peter, and Peter is just sending him to voicemail. And I do like that Happy's like, you can't ghost Nick Fury.
Right.
Like, this isn't a thing. And I do like,
what if you're Ghost Rider?
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. I always thought this was really interesting, though. Like, why would Peter shirk that opportunity? Like, he's been to space, like, he's had the grandest adventure that any superhero could have, and so, like, Nick Fury comes calling and you're like, oh, that's too much.
But I feel like
that's too much for me to take on.
It is, like, I need a break. Like, I didn't I didn't take it as like, I don't want to do it ever.
Okay.
I think I took it as like, dude, I'm 15.
Sure, sure.
You need to slow
your
roll.
Which is good self-awareness, certainly.
Yeah.
Totally. But also, that's Spider-Man, though, right? Like,
yeah.
It's too, I don't want to be part of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I want to work in Queens. Like, that's my home. That's the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. That's where my jam is.
I mean, yeah, they've certainly built that up. But to me, Spider-Man was always like, if there's a challenge, like, I've got to rise to meet it. Like, that's the Uncle Ben thing.
Yeah, yeah,
where it's just like, you've got to.
I will also say, we don't know how Uncle Ben died.
Sure.
Like,
I think Tony Stark is the new Uncle Ben.
We're assuming that it's some version of what we know.
We don't know how Peter got his powers.
Yeah, I mean,
probably a spider bite.
You think so?
Well, they do say
radioactive one.
They do say that.
Like Ultimate Universe style, right?
Oh yeah, like, which that is the Sam Raimi one. Yeah. Do they say that?
They say, well, he's explaining it to Ned, and he's like, "Oh, I got bit by a radioactive spider." Like you, like
okay.
I'm trying. Maybe he didn't say radioactive, but he did say spider bite. Like, so they do address that. Like, but it's very cash.
Yeah,
very in passing, which is good because we did not need another Spider-Man origin.
We've gotten it so many times,
so I'm not complaining. But like, honestly, we didn't. I don't even think they referenced Ben in the first one.
They say.
I
think he's talking to Ned, and he's like, "Look, you know how hard of a year she's had." Like talking about
right, yeah.
There's a very subtle subtext, reference to,
but yeah, Ben. But even then, I think it's kind of us
inferring.
Sure,
yeah.
We're right.
Yeah,
we're,
yeah.
In this one, this is the first time I think they actually. They don't mint.
His name is on that suitcase.
His name's on that suitcase.
Yeah, that's the only. They never say his name.
Yeah,
but it's like Benjamin Franklin Parker, I think. BFP is on the suitcase.
There's also
which
a
he
deleted,
loses, by the way.
There's also a deleted scene where apparently he gets really choked up when someone brings him a bowl of rice.
You don't even know.
That was
very moving.
Yeah, it was. I'm glad they took it out because I think it would have been too much. Like, this movie's kind of light and fun. It would have really brought it down.
Big time,
too
for
far,
sure.
Yeah. Too far.
So, yeah, so they get to Europe and he's been ghosting Nick Fury. Finally, he goes. We should say on the plane that not Gonke, because that's who he looks like in the comic books, but Ned is. He's like, we're gonna be bachelors in Europe. It's gonna be great. But then he gets together with Benny Brand.
I loved
them together on the plane.
Yeah,
he's like, no, it's just like sometimes two souls just like cross
and
paths.
They're instantly like an old married couple. Like
they're texting, "I miss you." Like when they're sitting next to each other,
finishing each other's sentences,
calling each other babe or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, babe the whole time.
Yeah, so he like now Peter, typical Parker luck, where like nothing goes right. You know, the best laid plans for Peter Parker, it doesn't matter. Like, ends up getting screwed up at some point. So now, you know, they go. Ned goes into the room to where he's staying with Peter, and he gets shot in the neck. And then now here's Nick Fury, who's just like, yeah, dude, like, been trying to get a hold of you for a while. And he's like, yeah, I don't really want to do this thing. And he's like, nope, you got to do it. Like, you have this responsibility.
I feel like that was also a bit much too. Like Nick Fury should be aware that it is a 15-year-old kid.
Okay, so here's the thing:
who's putting that on?
But that end sequence changes it.
That you don't know. Well, yeah. I mean, he also has all of the information do they call themselves anything? Are they S.H.I.E.L.D. again?
They don't call themselves anything because there is no S.H.I.E.L.D. I thought they were just like the Howling Commandos. Like okay. I don't know what else you would call them because it's
but
not.
I mean,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
He should at least be aware that you know he's calling on a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah,
pulling him away from
Yeah, but also at the same time, like that kind of. Sits with Nick Fury where he's just like, I don't care what your problems are.
Sure.
Like I have this big problem here and I need you
right,
to get down here
right.
and fix it.
And it could be also be where, you know, Talos doesn't really understand
spoilers!
The decorum of
oh, that's true.
Of approaching you know, a kid of you know, Peter's age and stature. And
which that the line where he's like, don't invoke her name makes more sense.
Sure.
Because like when he says that line, you're just like, why would you say
yeah,
what
whoa,
was,
calm
what?
Down.
Easy, buddy. So, yeah, so he ends up, we meet Quentin Beck with a tube, which I got to tell you, the fact that they double down on the Mysterio costume, thank you very much.
I think that
it was so insane.
And but I think the backstory to this character, both real and imagined,
yeah.
make it okay.
Totally.
You know what I mean? That it's like, it is kind of like someone playing pretend. And so.
I thought that, like, costume design, at least for. The reality of the situation where it's a mocap suit.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's really smart. Like every once in a while, there's something that MCU gets of like all comic book movies done so well and so smartly. And this, I think, was one of those moments.
Yeah.
There's a fishbowl on his head. Well, like, I mean, that shouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shouldn't work.
Sure.
But it works. Yeah. And what you're saying is, like, it's...
Well, if it's the pretense of, like, I come from a different Earth.
Right.
I'm fighting elemental creatures.
It's like destroyed what a guy
my world.
It's what a guy who doesn't know anything about superheroes would think a superhero looks like.
Right, exactly.
And, like, that's, at his core, what he is.
That's exactly right.
You know? So, I dug it.
Yeah, no, I was into it. And, you know, like, we jokingly said in, like, Captain America, when they show him wearing a comic book-inspired suit... We're just like, yeah, that's why this doesn't work on
right.
film. But yeah. like for whatever reason, this insane. If I don't get a Kraven with a giant like tiger head on his chest, I'm gonna be pissed. So they say that, like, Peter, you need to team up with Beck. Like, we need to figure this out. He's like, fine, I'll do this one, but then I'm out. Like, I get that you need my help, but I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. So they give him almost the black suit.
Well, yeah, more Spider-Man noir style.
Yeah.
It's more inspired, I guess. Given the context of working for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Light, you know, they want to have him in this costume.
A stealth
suit. You know, it makes sense because, you know, he's like, I'm not going to run around as Spider-Man. You know, that's going to be too much of a tell.
You, like, to Peter's credit, he's like, look, we already had the Washington thing
right.
where I was there.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
They're going to put it together.
Although I was really kind of bummed that they wasted... AC/DC's Back in Black to not put him
in the black suit,
officially in the real black suit.
I wonder if we'll ever get that. I mean, I have to believe that
at
Sony is chomping at the bit to get Venom into.
Well, hasn't that been the talk lately that they're like, hey, we're working on something where it's Hardy and it's Holland,
which I mean,
together in the same film
could be fun.
Yeah,
but that Venom movie was such a piece of crap.
So like, bad. Like, don't sully this movie. And I know that there's too much money for them to not.
Right.
Wasn't the problem.
No, he wasn't. And in their mind, they're looking at it going, well, the movie made a bunch of money, so it must have been great.
Right.
So
people loved it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, they did. But I feel like it's totally different people.
Oh,
it's still Michelle Williams' year of terrible movies, though.
Yeah.
So she's doing work to get paid and then doing passion projects.
Man.
So,
yeah, I can appreciate that. Like, you get that paycheck movie, then you go do the passion project. That's fine.
When she shows up in terrible movies, I'm always like, you go get paid, girl.
Yeah. What do you got coming down the pipeline?
Like,
it's going to be really good.
Good for you.
Yeah, this movie's making me $3 million, but I've got 3 Oscar nominations coming up in the next 5 years. So,
So he kind of, they lay this plan down. And there's a scene where Peter and Quentin are sitting on a rooftop. And I told Brian earlier, like, there's a moment where I was like, he looks like Tom Holland. Like, if they were to play with this multiverse thing,
yeah,
he could have been like future Spider-Man, and he almost was. Like, we jokingly said that he almost was Spider-Man in 2004,
yeah,
or 2005. But like, he, if you look at that Spider-Verse, the Jack Johnson, is that right? Jack Johnson, that's who played his voice,
Jake,
right?
Jake Johnson,
Jack, not the folky singer guy,
yeah,
right. Yeah, Jake Johnson. If you look at that model and then look at Jake Gyllenhaal, you're like, you look just like that Spider-Man.
Yeah. I did wonder for a second if that's where they were going somehow, like if he was going to be a future version
Peter
of
Parker, Peter Parker. But so like, and he, it's crazy how good Jake Gyllenhaal's the same way though. Like, he'll come out and do like, you know, he'll be in Spider-Man, but then he'll drop back and do something like Nightcrawler or what was that awful one that we saw?
That's just another comic book movie. I don't know why.
whatever that Netflix one was that we saw.
Are you talking about Velvet Buzzsaw?
Goo.
That was it. That was
bad. What a pile of junk.
We're looking at these from two different perspectives then, because it's like Michelle Williams, you're like, your body of work when you're not doing these big commercial things, and then Jake Gyllenhaal when you're not doing
hold
big
against
commercial.
It's just bad. It was just a bad movie.
Was he in the Amy Adams one where like he was the writer?
Oh brother, Nocturnal Animals.
God, I hated that movie.
What a pile of junk.
I hated that movie.
Was so bad.
I think I liked the book part. But when it went to the real world, I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
This is terrible.
I can't believe someone got an Oscar nomination for being in that movie.
Probably the only appropriate person, though, right? Was it Michael Shannon?
No, it was Amy Adams.
No, it was like the villain guy. I forget who he was.
Oh,
no,
really?
Aaron Taylor Johnson, I think he was Golden Globe nominated.
I thought he got nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, I hope not.
Boy. You know that the MCU would be like, no, we have an Oscar. Like, he got nominated.
Well, they got plenty of those.
I guess that's true. They have plenty.
Better pedigree, so...
So they take down the lava monster. And in the process, as Spider-Man is throwing it, like trying to catch this Ferris wheel, that
it wasn't Spider-Man.
Sorry, Night Monkey.
Yeah. Night Monkey.
Which was also like Ned just trying to come up with stuff on the fly. It's kind of like that scene in...
He's the man in the chair.
He is the man in the chair.
Yeah.
Like, in Homecoming, where he's like, what are you doing? He's like, looking at porn.
Looking at porn?
So while he's trying to fight this lava monster, he ends up thwipping a web, and it catches... It knocks out...
Like a holographic array on
like a projector.
Drone, right?
Yeah. And MJ picks it up and takes off, and this is the beginning of the end for
everything
for Quentin Beck. Like it right now, everything's sitting pretty. He's the biggest hero. We should say that Happy also gave Peter Edith, which were Tony Stark's awful looking glasses from Endgame. The HUD, the heads up display that were in the glasses.
I couldn't help but feel that the glasses were an homage to Stan Lee.
Well, yeah. I can see that.
They
the tinted lenses.
They kind of look like his glasses.
Excelsior.
Yeah. I do like people like, why didn't he have a cameo in this one? Well, because.
Well, it is interesting, though, because I feel like they were like, oh, Stan's got like 18 years worth of cameos in the bag. And then he's like, well, Captain Marvel's going to be the last time. But I think they also kind of balance it out in the sense of good taste.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we don't really need to keep trotting him out there.
Especially now that, I mean, you could do that weird face thing.
Like, oh yeah,
you know, like
fakes.
Let's not do that.
Yeah. Okay, here's a hot take. I'm glad they're done with the cameos.
I am as well.
Sure,
I think like
they did. They had their part.
I think it felt like a thing that they wanted to stop, but they felt like they couldn't. Like, you know, like the outro line that I do on every episode.
Sure,
kind of like that.
Yeah.
So you can't so when Obama had a Supreme Court justice murdered to fill that seat, you're saying that Kevin Feige murdered
Stan
Lee.
That's exactly what. And
the cameos.
And then Mitch McConnell refused to let him fill that role.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh my God. That is fantastic, and that is either gonna destroy us or bolster us.
Hey, that is factual. That occurred. The Mitch McConnell part.
Yeah, right.
Not the Obama murder.
No.
Well, you know, you draw it out long enough, and it's connected to truth. So. Sure.
But I they really kept taking me out of the film. Like, I know that like towards the end of his career, Hitchcock made a point of doing his cameos in the very front of the movie
just to get out of the way,
because he's like, everybody expects him. If I don't do him, they're going to be bummed. And like,
yeah,
but
the message boards were pissed.
Yes, they were.
And Hitchcock.
Yes.
Oh man.
And then he's like, they spend the movie looking for me instead of watching the movie. So I do it right at the beginning and then they were done.
I did like, I know Brian isn't a huge fan or a fan at all of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but
I
did like that they said that they kind of hinted that he was a watcher,
right?
And I was like, okay, that's
I did like that,
like a proxy for the Watchers.
Yeah,
at least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, if you're gonna keep putting him in the movies, at least now you have a reason to have him there, rather than just like Captain Marvel just happened to look at the old guy reading the Mallrats script.
Yeah,
you know. So like, that was a clever. Oh yeah, it was great.
Like that
I wish they would have de-aged him a little bit to make him look like Stan Lee from Mallrats.
Right.
But yeah, like I thought that was a pretty cute cameo. But like, if they're gonna say that he is the reason he keeps showing up is because he's a watcher or a proxy for the Watchers, I can deal with that. So no Stan Lee cameo in this one. Peter is struggling with not that he doesn't want to be Spider-Man.
Can I interject quickly? Did you touch on this with Dark Phoenix? Did you review Dark Phoenix?
Unfortunately.
There was the scene where Sophie Turner is sitting at a bar and she's an old man. She's like projecting herself as an old man.
Yeah.
Do you think that at one point they'd wanted to use Stan Lee?
Oh, they very well could have.
And then they didn't.
Or they had to undo it
because
he died.
Right.
Does he have cameos in those non-MCU ones as well?
I mean, he was in the Spider-Man films. He was in.
Both those amazing Spider-Man movies.
He was on the beach in the first X-Men, at least.
Yeah. Oh, right, when the president walks out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Senator,
yeah. Well, that's true.
He never got to be president.
No. Sad day.
He was even in the Baymax movie.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So maybe. That makes sense. And they were just like, oh, God, we got to get him out of here. Maybe that was part of their $500 million reshoots, is trying to get Stan Lee out of that movie. Peter, he's not saying that
Jim Shooter's like,
yeah.
Hey guys,
you know I'm still alive.
What, yeah. What does Edith stand for? There was a, it's an acronym, right?
Whatever it was, but it was definitely like the longest acronym. I don't remember. Electronic something or other. Data, like, information.
Even dead, even, I'm the yes, hero.
Yeah, yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Which
I was
is great.
Say, even in death, I'm the something. I
which is
remember.
Totally Tony Stark.
Yes, sure.
That's absolutely yeah. what that would be. We should say there's a great scene where Peter's trying to figure out the glasses, and he just so happens to send the drones to murder.
Yeah.
Like the cute villain, not villain, not but like villain, the competition for MJ.
Rival, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's kind of a retread of the gag from Homecoming where, you know, he's
like the kill suit.
Yeah, the kill suit. Yeah, right. You know, but it was still funny.
Yeah.
It still worked.
It's interesting because we talked about on Homecoming how there were like five or six writers. So it was John Francis Daly and his writing partner, then two other writers, and John Watts, who came back to direct this one. And this one only had two writers, but it never lost the feeling of Homecoming. Like, yeah. This feels like it feels like this would be a sequel to Homecoming.
Totally.
Which I appreciate. So I wonder, like, where, like, John, and I think John Francis Daly is a very good writer. I think he can be very funny given the right motivation.
Did you see Vacation?
There are parts of Vacation that I think are funny.
Did
that
you see the incredible Burt Wonderstone?
No, that was bad.
Yeah, that was
that
bad.
Was real
yeah.
bad. But he wrote something else that was. Did he write Cloud? No, that was Lord and Miller. I feel like there was something else that he wrote where I was like, okay, like that's, and he's Sam Weir. Like he's worked with Apatow, who I think is also pretty funny. So he decides he's not quitting as Spider-Man, but he doesn't want to be Tony Stark. So after working with Quentin Beck, Mysterio, for this long time, he's like, I can trust you. I think you're the guy. You've got the tech. Like, everything, you are the guy that needs to lead this. And he gives the Edith glasses over to Quentin Beck. He transfers them over to him. And it's a very touching scene. And when you're watching it, if you've read the comic books and you know who Mysterio is, you're like, oh, Peter.
Yeah.
You dummy.
But it's also exactly the sort of thing he would do.
It is.
Yeah.
And he, you know, like, Peter is kind of the good guy to a fault,
right? Yeah.
Too, you know? Naive.
Too naive, exactly. So he kind of walks away. He gives Quentin the glasses, and Quentin puts them on, and then slowly the bar starts to fade away.
It's like the last scene of The Sting.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Spoiler.
And then we find out
for a 50-year-old movie,
right? That Quentin is the bad guy,
yeah,
the entire time.
And I like the backstory
of
here
weaving
with
it all together.
Of how, like, because
this is when I went to the restroom.
Oh, they dance.
This is his Spider-Man
three moments.
But honestly, it is. I mean, on the way here, Joe was telling me, and I was like, okay.
You made it through Endgame without peeing, but
yeah, Spider-Man? I didn't drink anything for 4 days leading up to
yeah,
Endgame.
Totally.
So
yeah. But I like the idea of, like, there would be people that were like, no, this is
the fact
BS.
That they go back to Iron Man 1.
Right.
With Peter Billingsley. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
The guy, the kid from
Story.
Christmas Story.
Right.
Who, I mean,
director of Elf.
The background with him is he and Favreau and Vaughn.
No, John Favreau is the director of Elf.
Oh,
he was the producer.
Oh, okay.
He's their.
Oh, you know, he's in it, isn't he?
He Peter, pops
he's,
up.
He's the doctor. I've never seen Elf, so I'm
oh my God.
Kind
Elf
of just ripping
like,
on
are
all
you
of
serious?
This.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Like, even if you're not a Will Ferrell guy, totally watch Elf.
Okay.
Yeah.
For Peter Dinklage alone.
Yeah.
I'll do that tonight.
But
it's on.
No,
it's
no
on,
don't
I'm,
do it.
I'm just kidding.
Don't do it in July.
I was going to say.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
You should
wait
until July 25th.
You should see his watch history. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to what this dude watches.
But Peter Billingsley was the producer of that film.
That's right.
Well, he's their boy. Like, that's Vince Vaughn.
Wasn't he a producer on Dinner for Five also?
Vince Vaughn and Peter Billingsley were, like, in, like, an after-school special together.
Yes, they. It was like a steroid after-school special.
Yeah, and they became.
Was Ben Affleck in that one?
There was. Maybe.
Yeah. And they but they became tight and they're like best friends.
Yeah. He's like in charge of their production company. And
yeah.
They're all. So they flash back to that scene in Iron Man 1 where Obadiah Stane is screaming at a scientist like Tony Stark invented that, like put this together in a cave. Well, it turns out they just bring him back to be a guy that's pissed off at Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And then they go back to reference. I guess it was in Civil War when they do the de-aging of Robert Downey Jr. and he's talking about how he never got to have this moment with his dad.
Right.
And when that all that like VR tech hologram disappears, he calls it like barf. And in the background, you see Jake Gyllenhaal who was the one who created that. And he was like, he made fun of me. Like, he said it was never going to work. Well, guess what? I made it work.
And then you call it barf.
And you call it, like, barf.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because, like, all these kind of silly things about these characters that we like if they were happening to you, they wouldn't be funny at all.
No, no. It was his life work.
It kind of reminds me of that episode of Community where they were, focused on all, because they use the same extras all the time.
Right.
Because it's a college and you should be seeing the same people over and over again.
Yeah.
And so, like, they did one episode where it was all about the people you see in the background, and they were so sick of the main people on the show.
That's pretty good.
And yeah, it's really good.
That show's deceptively smart.
Oh my god, that show's so good. Yeah. Not that that's a groundbreaking piece of information, but and I still think that there's an episode where it's literally just like the cast sitting at a table playing D&D.
Yeah.
And it might be the best half hour of television of the last 10 years. It is,
and I
amazing.
Think all of those guys have shown up in the MCU. Maybe not Joel McHale.
I don't think Joel McHale has. Chevy Chase has not.
Well, Jillian Jacobs.
That's the other one that I was thinking.
Allison Brie.
She was in something, I think. I think she was like a reporter or. But I know that Ahmed was in there.
Oh, Donald Glover.
And Donald Glover. And then Yvette Nicole Johnson was in Endgame. She's the gal that, like, they run into in the elevator.
But she's like a security guard.
No, she's like a secretary, but she sicks the security guards on Cap and Tony.
Okay.
So yeah, he turns everything over, and now Quentin Beck.
So yeah, everybody,
almost the ones that you,
like,
can probably
odds.
Still afford. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Joel McHale is doing like ABC game shows.
I was gonna say, I think Joel McHale could come in and do something. He could be like the I don't know, like the what's the
Pre Larson was on Community.
Oh
yeah,
for more than one episode.
Yeah, she was the coat check girl in season 4.
That's
headed
crazy.
Off with Abed, and then it pops up again in season 5. And Martin Starr is also
good.
Yeah,
if you've never seen, there was a show on like IFC called Party Down.
That was on Stars.
Was it on Stars?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic. It's Adam Scott,
Jane Lynch, Ken Marino.
Who's the Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan.
It's a great show. It's like only 2 seasons. It's really good. So Peter, he has this plan. He's going to go talk to MJ. And things are working. This is, again, typical Parker luck, where things start to fall into place. So he goes to MJ's room. She immediately agrees to go, like, because they're leaving. Like, all hell, every time they go somewhere, they're just like, every time we go to a different place.
Well, now the mission's over, and so S.H.I.E.L.D.'s like, or, you know, Fury's team's like, all right, get them back on track and get them back to the States.
And then, but all the parents are like, you're coming home. Like, every time you go to, like, Prague, there's some giant monster fighting, so you're coming home. So Peter's like, I had this plan the whole time. So they're walking down, like, this bridge, and MJ, they're having this really good conversation. Again, the chemistry between Zendaya and Tom Holland is really good.
It is.
It's super awkward in a good way.
In a totally appropriate
way.
Yeah. Like, that's
where she basically says, he's like, I have something I really want to tell you, and I've been trying to come up with, you know, the words. And she's like, you're Spider-Man. And he was like, nope, that's not a thing. Like, I'm not Spider-Man. She's like, no, like, you Washington, like, you disappear all the time. Like, I get it. You're Spider-Man. He's like, I'm not Spider-Man. And then something happens where, oh, he figured she presents the drone, the
projector.
And he's just like, all right, sorry, Kevin. Okay, I am Spider-Man, but we gotta go. And she was like, what, wait, are you messing with me right now? Like, because I was like 75% sure that you were Spider-Man. He's like, no, I am, but we gotta go. So
we gots to go,
he goes, and he tries to he's not trying to talk to Fury.
He goes to Fury.
Does he go to Fury?
And then it's all projected.
Oh, that's his first setup.
That's his first real, like, what, excursion into the Mysterioverse?
Which I appreciate that they, like, that was great.
That was so strong.
I loved the fact that they actually doubled down on, like, the insanity that would be, the CG and the special effects and everything.
Yeah, I liked how when he finally kind of gets out of it, like, even several scenes later, he's still kind of like not entirely, he's still discombobulated.
Yeah, when he
still
calls
entirely
happy.
Know what to believe and what is real and what isn't.
Right.
It would definitely make you question your reality.
And that's exactly, so you've got, he goes and, you know, he has this interaction with Fury, but it turns out it's not Fury, it's Quentin Beck. And it's everything around him is
An illusion,
which is what Mysterio was. A special in the comic books, he's a special effects guy that just wanted to live a life of crime, and he used the special effects to his benefit. So yeah, there's a big fight,
like,
and
FX only bad guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That first one's a good movie.
That first one's really good.
That second one's not so good.
I will say I haven't probably seen it in like 30 years.
I like that.
But I just remember that first one being really
good. Is that Brian Dennehy?
Yeah.
And Brian Dennehy and Brian Brown.
And that second one being really bad.
Second one's really bad. First one's really good. And Peter, like, there was a moment where I was like, what are you doing? Like, you have spider sense. It'll tell you what is real.
Peter Tingle.
I know what it's called.
In the MCU, it's a Peter Tingle.
Which they never reference until Endgame. No, until Infinity War. Is like when the hair stands up on his arm, and that's the first time you ever see it. So he gets beat. Like, he gets beat up pretty bad. He gets thrown in front
of
a train.
Still kind of learning it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like in Homecoming, he didn't have it at all.
No.
So he's still kind of learning the...
Yeah, which is interesting. Like, I wonder if, like, extra powers are going to show up. You know, like, hopefully he doesn't get the six arms or the, you know, the organic web shooters. Which,
or become a clone.
Which I... Oh, Jesus. Please don't ever do that.
I like the organic web shooters.
I didn't have a problem with it. Yeah. I miss, like, the smart Peter.
Yeah.
You know, like, the scientist that makes his own.
I didn't like that robbed him of that.
Yeah.
But it made sense because... Other than that, like, he climbs on stuff. That's really the only kind of...
He can jump really far.
It's only the only spider thing he's got going on.
Right.
So...
Yeah, I did like when... Yeah.
It's not where...
Which they added to the comic books. And then as soon as they were just like, no, we're going to get rid of that too.
Yeah.
Like...
Not where those...
No, he went full on spider, though.
He did, but it started with, like, the...
He got the organic...
I was like, well, of course.
Is that coming out of the other?
Yes. Yeah,
so coming out of the other.
We're going down a rabbit hole right now. Yes, the other, and then
he transformed fully into a spider,
and then
it was disassembled.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he became back to Spider-Man. Right. Go read those books, people.
It's not where those webs would have been coming out of. I'll tell you that.
So yeah,
it
so he gets
coming out of the other.
He ends up having to steal somebody's phone and has to call Happy. And this was the scene that Tom's talking about, where like this plane lands and Peter's like, "Stay away from me! Like, tell me something that only you would know." And he was just like, "That time in England or wherever they were in Civil War." He's like, "You rented
Germany?
Is that what Germany?" He's like, "You said you didn't rent that one movie, but I could tell by the price that it was a porn." And he was like, "All right, fine."
Which also means.
Yes.
That Happy's running those movies.
Correct.
Because he knows they have a different price point.
Correct. Exactly right. So, and this is a good moment where Peter, he's like, "I messed up, man. Like, he wanted me to be this thing. I'm not that thing." And I do like that, that mentor relationship kind of transferred to Happy, where Happy did not like Peter at all.
Yeah.
In Homecoming, like, he kept pushing him off, and then he realized that he had a hot aunt.
Yeah.
He was like, "Maybe I should take
like, well, if I want to be
interest in this kid."
I think that it's there, but then also, like, knowing what Tony saw in Peter.
Yeah.
And he, you know, Tony's gone.
If I would like to be his step uncle,
what do I have left of Tony?
But him,
you know,
this kid.
But Tony's daughter and his wife, my former employer. but really, I'll focus on this 15-year-old kid.
The corporation itself that I'm the head of security of. So they have this really touching moment on the plane where he's just like, he doesn't want you to be the next Tony Stark. He wants you to be the first you. So they go, like, his suit's all disheveled, so he has to... You're right?
Yeah. Thinking about this movie just gave me the chills.
So he's like, "I need to make a new suit." So he goes into the back, and of course, this is the Tony Stark moment, where it's interesting, like, there's a bunch of suits. Like, if you go back and watch it on that heads-up display, there's a lot of, like, spider suits. And I was like, all right, we're going to get that black suit at some point, because it's going to be in here.
Do you want just the black suit, though, or do you want the symbiote?
I don't care about the symbiote. That black suit was the first time I remember in comics being like, that's a cool costume change. Like, there's never been a cool costume change.
Invisible Woman.
Which one? With like the four cutouts so you can see your cleavage?
Like 380s or whatever.
So he starts doing the Tony Stark thing where he's picking up pieces of the suit and he's crumpling it up and throwing it away. And then this is where we get the back in black theme. And we get a suit that surprisingly looks like Miles Morales' suit.
Yeah, very like, close.
It's very close.
Fingers.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, why don't you just introduce Miles Morales?
Right.
What are we doing? Like,
right.
You have a character that worked like gangbusters in Spider-Verse.
You don't make anybody happy by bringing his suit, invoking
and his best friend,
his identity. Yeah, and you know? His best friend.
So like the Ned character is Miles Morales' best friend. He just has a different name, and this suit looks just like Miles' suit. So it is like maybe they set it up where Peter's like, "Here, kid,
sure,
take this suit." But I did.
I mean, at that point, he probably is like 12, 10.
Yeah, probably.
Which I think Miles originally was, when he was first introduced.
Yeah, he was a young kid. And we know that he's in this world. Like, because Donald Glover is his uncle.
Right.
Is Jefferson Pierce. So we know that he exists. So they devise this plan. He's going to basically expose Quentin Beck for who he is. There's a massive fight sequence. Quentin Beck also knows that Peter has told Ned and MJ, possibly Betty, who he is, like what the whole plan is. I do like that. That Happy has to call Nick Fury, and it's just like, hey, like the surfer. What, you know? He's making up some
right.
You left your surfboard at Tony's
house. He's like, not everything is what it seems. Click.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Nick Fury being Nick Fury, but
is
not
he?
Nick Fury,
right.
Figures it out that Quentin Beck is kind of on the a bad guy. So massive fight. Peter ends up fighting his using the Peter tingle, fighting his way through Mysterio's, mirages the drones and has a great like it there. They haven't touched on like how good of a fighter he is, but like when he goes into spider sense mode and just starts flipping around and knocking out drones and nobody can really touch him. Like that's what Peter is. Like that's that Spider-Man character can pretty much beat up anybody and never get touched.
Yeah.
So like, I appreciate that he's bouncing off drones and he's swinging every, you know, tying everything together. And just when you think that he's got Quentin Beck is Mysterio's laying on the ground. He's like, just give me the glasses and call everything off. He's like, okay, fine. And he's going to go give him the glasses. And then in the last possible second, like Peter snaps and like grabs a gun behind his head. And it turns out that the one on the ground was a mirage and the real ones behind him. And I like they definitely allude that they kill Mysterio, but I have to believe they don't. Like,
it's easy enough to say that they didn't.
Right.
You know,
that they just left it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So
plus, even if they think they did, I mean, his whole thing is he creates illusions.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it could be nothing.
You can write yourself out of that corner
very easily.
Yeah.
So then, everybody's happy. We head back to the States. MJ and Pete are definitely together, which I appreciate.
Speaking of Peter Tingle.
That's, yeah, no kidding.
No kidding.
there's a very good scene, two post-credits, but like one like pre-credits where Peter's sitting down with
I meant to tell this story in Toy Story 4 because I said I saw this with my soon-to-be 15-year-old and I leaned over when like he kisses her. I'm like, oh, speaking of Peter Tingle, and he's like, oh, Dad. I think I told him like this first dirty joke from me,
right?
You know,
right,
at Toy Story 4.
Okay.
At the end, in case you haven't seen Toy Story 4, like at the end where he's gonna basically run away with Bo Peep.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, but he can only talk with things his pull string says. And I leaned over to him. I'm like, he wants to put his snake in her boot.
Aw, Dad.
He still has his own voice, just not the voice box, right?
Yeah, but there was a scene where he was only supposed to be speaking the voice box.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, like,
there's a snake in my boot. There's a snake in my boot.
Somebody's poisoned the water hole. Yeah. That's when he discovers that Bo Peep has been cheating on him.
Yes, yeah, she has chlamydia.
Yeah, right.
It's weird that we picked the same STD.
Well, you look at Bo Peep and
Fair enough.
That makes sense. So there's a scene at the end where Peter's kind of sitting down A.C. Slater style on a chair where he says, he's like, look, we need to get some things out of the way. We need to figure this out right now. And of course, it's Happy and May. And he's like, are you two a thing? And they're Happy's like, of course we are. And May's like, I mean, we're casual. So like them going back and forth. And of course, Peter gets super awkward and is like, you know what? I don't care. I got to go. And he leaves. Picks up MJ. they go for a swing for the first time.
And the last time.
And the last time, which I like, where she's like, I never want to do that again. And that he was like, awful. Okay, good. So Peter kind of looks up, and they're in Times Square. I guess they're somewhere close to Times Square, and we see a news bulletin pop up, and it's
DailyBugle.net.
DailyBugle.net.
I love this.
This, if they're, we always said they can't recast that role.
There's nobody that could do it as well. And I love the fact that they were just like, F it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess it also kind of fits into this theory, if you think they're going to use the multiverse to kind of make everything one thing when it comes to Spider-Man. Like,
he looks different. He doesn't have the flat top or the,
he's 10 years older.
He had the stash.
Yeah.
That's true. He is 10 years older.
Yeah.
So we get a video of Quentin Beck saying that Spider-Man is the bad guy. And of course, they've edited footage where Peter is wearing the glasses, and he tells Edith to execute them all.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's very 2019.
I mean, he's Alex Jones.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly right.
But why do they not have this website up and running?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
They own it.
Right.
I did a Whois search on it. It's owned by Sony Pictures.
Oh, really?
The domain name? Yeah.
If it was Marvel proper, it would have been.
Yeah.
There'd be daily content.
Yeah. Like, I don't get why.
He could film that in a day.
Yeah.
Little 5-minute videos of just slamming Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we haven't said it, but it's J.K. Simmons.
Right.
Comes back as J. Jonah Jameson. And it was one of the best post credit sequences.
I was at a press screening and people applauded.
Yeah.
We're jaded bastards. We don't applaud. I applauded. I was like, yay. Yeah,
of course. Like, you're never going to get anybody to fill that role as perfectly as he did.
No.
Is he the first one to make the jump to go from DCEU to Marvel?
Well, he went Marvel to DCEU.
I guess
Marvel.
That's true.
So, I mean, he could do whatever really he wants.
Yeah.
Oh,
but has anybody jumped back and forth?
He is the first one to go, you know, to like reprise a character
from the old stuff.
From old stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is great. Like, it was awesome.
I mean, unless, who's the, who played Peter's dad in Amazing Spider-Man?
Martin Sheen.
Campbell Scott?
No, Martin Sheen.
Is that
Sheen.
His name? No, that was Uncle Ben. But who was his dad? Why can I not? Roger Dodger.
Oh, they did bring his dad name. Into that. I forgot.
I don't know.
That his parents were still alive. Gross.
Right. Well, his dad at least was still alive.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Or Reese Iffens comes back as the lizard.
That'd be all right. But then we find that Quentin Beck
Dylan Baker should come back and like finally have his his moment, his Billy D moment.
He's like, I made it. I'm here. I did it. So the Quentin Beck actually reveals Peter Parker's identity to the world, or to at least to New York, that Peter Parker and Spider-Man are the same person.
And it's edited to make him look like he was like killing an innocent man.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yes. And I do like that it's the exact same ending as Homecoming, where Peter's like, the ending of Homecoming is where May is like, what the f-? And then it cuts.
Well, and it's also kind of a mirror image of Iron Man 1.
Oh, yeah.
Because
Iron Man.
Yeah. Instead of him choosing to reveal his identity, it's chosen
reveling
for
in that.
Him.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's, you know, it is kind of this mirror image of the journey
of
Tony
Stark. That's
true.
That's a good
point. That's
great. It's just he's making different choices, but it's still happening to
right.
him.
Yeah. And then the second post-credit sequence is we see Nick Fury and Maria Hill riding in a car. And he was like, look, you got to come back. Like, they're starting to ask questions and I don't have answers for them. And then
I keep eating my sandwiches the wrong way.
So then the facade drops away and it's Telos from Captain Marvel and another Skrull who have been posing as Maria Hill and Nick Fury the entire time.
Which I think this is just a way to get out of Samuel L. Jackson's multi-picture deal.
I know, they're like, right? No, we'll just use the yeah. we'll use the scroll
the whole time. Use an alien.
We don't have to pay you.
Your appearance.
Yeah. But we don't know how many Skrulls there are,
and we don't know how long they've been doing.
That's the big question. Yeah. I think at this point it's like, yeah, has it been since Captain Marvel 94 95?
Yeah.
Well, and his legs looked atrophied when he walked away.
He's just been laying there the whole time. I think that's the first time that you've seen Samuel L. Jackson's legs on screen.
Maybe that's what it is.
But he was part of the blip. He and Maria Hill disappeared at the end of Infinity War. So they've been back
unless they were Skrulls.
Ooh. Oh.
You don't know. Like, that's the thing, is they
that's
haven't...
That's brilliant.
They haven't really... They kind of gave themselves this ultimate plot device for the moment, anyway.
Okay, so wait, who did...
You don't know, like, how long a Skrull has been playing.
Well, we're getting Secret Invasion. And that's what we're getting.
And you all...
Probably.
Yeah. You also don't know...
They'll wait to do Secret Invasion until they're like, we really need to make a lot of money with this one. We'll bring back Tony Stark as a Skrull.
Yeah. And we also don't know if they've been flipping back and forth.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe sometimes it's really...
Oh, yeah. Tag team options on
right,
the...
Right, yeah.
I need to go back and rewatch...
Let's not make it dirty.
Captain Marvel.
You know.
And see who she gave that pager to.
Because
She gave it to Nick Fury.
So, so Nick Fury has that in...
Infinity War.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I guess it's possible that
but if he
switched it off to Telos.
He says, hey, Skrull... Be me for a week.
Right.
Here's the pager just in case.
Right.
That makes sense.
You know? Or he comes back post blip and is like, I need a vacation, even though I haven't been doing anything for 5 years.
It's only been a couple minutes for him.
Oh, true.
If, you
true.
Know, like that's,
taking a little break. So, yeah. So
they
we
jumped over that minute.
I did like the one.
Getting a weird time
speaking
travel.
Of the blip, I did like the one little part where they're on the plane and Flash is drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And she's like, and MJ is like, hey, he's not really 21. He blipped.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. It's like, it's totally what people would do.
I do. That was also kind of awkward. Like the whole Flash subplot line where it's like he's abandoned by his parents.
You're right.
And that's why he's a jerk or whatever. And it's like,
did mother
just be a jerk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did mother not come to pick me up?
Yeah.
No. I was like, well, I don't want to feel bad for Flash Thompson.
Right.
Like, I could feel bad for Flash Thompson when
like
he gets his legs blown off in
sure.
war.
That's I feel like they're laying the groundwork for something.
They might be.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the hero worship with Spider-Man I thought was great.
That was great stuff. Yeah. How much Flash, he loves Spider-Man and hates Peter Parker.
Flash wants to love his parents, but becomes orphaned after seeing Zorro. And a mugger kills his mother and father.
I think we're on to something.
Uh-oh. So, yeah. So, and then Nick Fury's in outer space.
Yeah.
And they're just like, all right, it's time to get going.
The next question is, where are his shoes?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So, we don't know. San Diego's coming up in 2 weeks. I think San Diego Comic Con. And I have a feeling.
They're doing a 90-minute block.
Yeah. And so, DC pulled out. And somebody. Never mind. And somebody else is not going to San Diego.
Me.
Yeah. So, and Marvel's got a 90-minute block. So, I have to believe. We are going to see whatever phase four is going to be.
Yeah, at minimum phase four.
That's
right?
What it'll be.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's a fantastic little ending to the phase three.
Because there's nothing definite. They have no release date.
Nope.
Like, no confirmed release date with a film.
Nope. Yeah. That we are done for the year with
Coogler,
Marvel.
I know, apparently has just started working on the story for Black Panther 2.
Shang-Chi's been cat. Like, they're working on that.
Oh, yeah, Captain, they're filling out that cast. That's
know,
right.
So but that's it. There's nothing.
All the Disney Plus series are maybe under production.
Sure, why not? Because that comes out in November. So
okay,
they're gonna have to hit the ground with something, right?
Yeah, you know?
Right,
for sure.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, cool. Well, that's it for this one. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
Brian Spath on Twitter at Lord Spathington.
Ooh, this is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts BUTTS21.
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Don't forget our Patreon account at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. And yeah. That's it. That's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Midsommar for the art house nerds. I've been waiting for that one. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Judy auditions for Mickey Rooney.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.